Good morning. This morning's reading is from Proverbs 22, 1 through 2, 8 to 9, and 22 to 23. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than gold or silver. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor, because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. Bless the reading.
Please pray with me. Holy One, your wisdom cries out in the street, calling us to seek your will. Teach us by your Spirit to be doers of your word and not merely hearers, that our faith may bear good fruit in works of service and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, Proverbs. I think this is actually one of the more underrated books of the Bible. We do use general proverbs quite a bit in our everyday language, and even some of those are actually from the Bible. Generally speaking, a proverb is a condensed statement of apparent truths based on experience. They're just these little tidbits of wisdom that are meant to tell us how to live a good life. And these pithy statements sort of endure in a community over time. So I'm wondering, are there any proverbs that you have heard recently or that you find yourself coming back to over and over? You want me to give some examples first? I can give some examples first. So some of my favorites are, actions speak louder than words. What you do is more important than what you say. There's also, no man is an island. No human is truly capable of providing for all of their needs completely alone. Not only do we need human connection, but none of us knows how to do everything. We need roads and electricians and farmers and so on and so forth. So are there any proverbs, any words of wisdom that you find yourself saying or that you've heard recently?
An old one.
Yes, early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yes. Also, which reminds me of the early bird catches the worm, and I'm like, I don't want to catch a worm, so that's not happening. Any others?
A stitch in time saves none.
Okay. Yes, great. Arlie.
Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice.
Fool me twice, I won't get fooled again. Yeah. It's, giving somebody a chance once, but you have to, if somebody's given you a chance, you have to really stand behind your words and your actions.
A soft answer turns away wrath. Is that a proverb?
A soft answer turns away wrath. Ooh. But a harsh word stirs up anger. Yeah. See, man, there's lots of wisdom all over the... No. do unto others and run? This is quickly getting away from me. So another one is that I think we're all thinking a little bit right now is that all good things must come to an end. And that's pretty salient for me, both for me and for all of you. And that sort of reminds me that, you know, all of these proverbs, whether they're in the Bible or just, you know, our general sayings, requires a lot of social and cultural context. They don't always mean the same thing in every situation. So while all good things must come to an end is really salient for us at this time right now, and it makes us think of all of the good times that we've had together, as we've shared our love, as we've worked and played and prayed together, you know, and that's going to be different going forward. It doesn't mean that there's never going to be good times ever again, but that this particular time is closing. And so that's, in some way, this is supposed to make us feel a little bit better about that sadness that we feel. But we also say all good things must come to an end when we're in the middle of a boom. When we're in the middle of the time of plenty, and it's used as a reminder that these joyous occasions can't last forever, maybe set a little something aside, really relish the moment, be present, and that's something that's wise in those situations. So yeah, Proverbs, even the ones recorded in the Bible, they're addressed to particular people in particular situations, but at the same time, they do embody these common human truths, these recurring patterns in ordinary life. And we can usually find ways to apply these old truths to these new situations because, in a way, there really is nothing new under the sun. And while the book of Proverbs does follow an organizational pattern, it's still really hard to make any sort of story out of the verses. So the lectionary kind of cobbled together these few verses in a way that made some sense, I guess. And so this chapter of Proverbs seems to say that having a good name is worth more than just about anything else in life. I don't know about you, but I have known personally a few people with unfortunate names. There was a woman that I worked with almost 20 years ago, and her maiden name was Skank. And you might guess correctly, she couldn't wait to get her name changed when she got married. And in high school, I knew a girl, her name was Peppa Ann, and her last name was S-U-L-T, Salt. And so her name was Peppa Ann Salt. And she was able to take that name in stride. She was actually a lovely person. But she still got some guff, you know, here and there. But I think you're also smart enough to know that that's not really what this set of Proverbs is talking about. It's not your literal name or how it's spelled or pronounced or if it's a weird pun. This advice is about building a good reputation so that when someone hears your name, they immediately think of a person with an excellent character, someone who is trustworthy. When I lived in New Mexico, one of my many jobs was at a public relations firm. And public relations is all about managing how people see and feel about a person or a brand or a company. It's not so much about advertising and marketing. It's something a little more organic than that. And people and corporations don't hesitate to spend a lot of money for a good reputation. In the U.S. alone, public relations is a $15 billion a year industry. A good name is more desirable than riches indeed. The first saying here limits the status of wealth. Something we already know to be good. We already know that wealth is a good thing. We would all love to be wealthy. And by saying that a good name is even better than that, a good name and reputation, that's something that's cultivated over time. It's not really celebrity and fame. It's something that's earned over time through wisdom and righteousness, integrity and honesty. It's consistent displays of responsible actions. And a good name cannot be just bought. And furthermore, God actually just doesn't care that much about money. It's really important to us. But money, and money itself is not good or bad. It just doesn't matter. God made all humans, both the rich and the poor, and God sees us all as valuable. We're the ones that make the big fuss and judgments over things like that. Our identities are not based on what we have, but by the fact that each and every one of us are creatures fashioned by God. So what does it take to earn a good name? Proverbs seems to be talking to government officials when it warns against the potential for abusive rulership that's often inherent in power and wealth. But that also goes for any of us who are in any sort of position of authority, a manager, a teacher, a parent, a pastor. Those with good names don't engage in oppression. They speak up against injustice wherever they see it. They're generous with their time, their skills, their resources. They tend to the poor. And when Proverbs says poor, by the way, it's not just talking about people without a lot of money. The poor also includes those people without power, those who are poor in spirit, those people who are vulnerable in any number of ways. So when you go, oh, poor Peggy. that sort of thing. Generally, I think people strive to follow the advice in these proverbs. We can certainly name some exceptions of people who do intentionally exploit the poor to try to gain more and more wealth and power. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, I think we do try to do good. Unfortunately, we don't always get it right. But thankfully, we do have a God with a good name. God's reputation is above reproach. Our wise God uses righteous power to fight injustice and impart mercy. Our God sides with and comforts the poor and the afflicted. That's amazing. That doesn't mean that we're off the hook entirely, that we can just rest on God's laurels. We are still responsible for creating our own names. Again, our reputations don't just happen. It comes from the way that we live our lives and make our decisions. It comes from consistent actions. So how can we, as individuals and as a congregation, live into the ways that allow God and others to pronounce us good? What marks will Glenshaw Valley leave on the world, or even just Shaler, that lets people see and remember God's presence? Amen.